Hey, Mama. This time of year, many of us are holiday prepping, amping up our attention to the goals that we are still on the skinny branch of meeting, and potentially looking to seal what we desire for the coming year. There are also some of us who confront seasonal depression and enthusiasm about normal activity or even planned activities take a back seat in the ebbs and flows of our daily management of motherhood, lifehood, womanhood, and daughterhood, most especially because we are daughters in Christ. But we aren't going to talk about seasonal depression beyond a basic understanding of it. And that is that seasonal depression is this conglomerate of a few factors. It's mental, it's social, psychological, biological, generational, and very much emotional that is treatable and also challenging to discern depending on the root. And so, as believers, depression is a thief of joy. And getting through the noise that depression often causes is the beginning of unearthing joy. And today's special guest is who I deem to be an advocate for joy and ownership of joy in the most monumental ways. She is my fellow sister in Christ and such a wonderful human being. Celeste Charles wears a lot of different hats. She is an entrepreneur, a friend, an executive administrator, a wife, a worship leader, creative, a Christian, and last but certainly not least, a mom. Celeste Charles is a boy mom times two, a wife of 10 plus years, and an executive administrator. After graduating from NYU in 2010 with a bachelor's in communication studies, she landed a position in healthcare administration, which was the start of a 12 plus year journey that has left her with a plethora of administrative experience in the fields of healthcare, tourism, entertainment, faith-based nonprofit, as well as event coordination and project management. Today, Celeste is the founder and CEO of Decent Order Virtual Assistance LLC, where she serves as the lead VA. She also coaches and trains aspiring virtual assistants, and I am so excited to have her with us today. Hi, Celeste.
Hello, 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 hello.
I'm so excited about this conversation. I know that we've been planning, mapping, trying to get it like sealed. And now that we're here, and I cannot wait for the rest of the moms to experience what it is that I feel like I get to experience on a weekly basis.
Stop.
Tell us about you. Tell us about who you are, what makes up Celeste, and ultimately tell us your mom's story.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me on the podcast. I'm so excited. I love opportunities for women to get together, for women to talk, but specifically for moms to talk and get together and just share and encourage one another. This question, I know that there's a few ways that I can go when answering the mom journey question. And when I was thinking about how to approach it, the Lord really reminded me of my testimony. And it's something that I don't share as much because as the years go on, it becomes, further and further back. But I'm excited to share this with you and with everyone who's going to be listening. So I was the typical little girl who just wanted to be a wife and a mom. Like, if wife and mom was like career, then that would just be it.
That
It's like, I'm just, that's what I'm gonna do. What do you do when you grow up? I want to be a wife and a mom. That's it, period. That was
was
always, I just always had a heart for it. I don't even really have an explanation for it. It's really the Lord. Like, that was just a passion that he put in my heart from when I was a really, really young child. So fast forward to, I got married in 2013, got married in 2013, and shortly after, maybe like a year in, year and a half in, we get pregnant. Super excited. I'm the first child on my side of the family. He's the first on his side. So as you can imagine, it was a whole family affair.
It
It was a thing. Okay. We were all so excited.
was
And unfortunately, 8 weeks into the pregnancy, we miscarried. So completely devastating. But God is so, he's so good, because in the midst of the devastation, and at that time, that was probably the worst grief that I experienced, because I was really just like, Lord, you could have just, like, I could have just not been pregnant. Like, you, I would have been fine with just, nothing. But to have all these feelings of joy and excitement, and feeling like, okay, purpose fulfilled, and then for it to be taken away, shattered. Absolutely shattered. And I also want to just highlight my husband's pain as well. Like, this was, we were still very newly married, and to go through this season together, it was very interesting. But through it all, and again, I think this is just because of the passion and the purpose, through all the grief and the sadness, I was just like, we gonna get pregnant again.
Yeah,
We are
about
gonna
that.
carry full term. I remember we had a date, because at the time I was like a blogger. So we had a date that we were going to announce the pregnancy to the world. And instead of announcing the pregnancy, we shared the miscarriage story. And in that video, I was just like, I am coming back here and I am going to announce my pregnancy. And I know it's sad now, but I'm like, there's no reason. God gave me this desire. He's gonna fulfill it. It was
Absolutely.
this faith, and I'm just like, Lord, I don't know where it came from, but God is faithful. And in 2016, had our first child, and oh my God, I love him so much. My baby. So, that's the first half of the story. I'm gonna go real quick through the second. But we get pregnant again, actually, in October of that same year. I had no clue. I had no
Oh,
clue I was pregnant.
nice.
And I really feel like the enemy, he likes to play games. I think that he really attacked my desire for motherhood.
Yeah.
And when we got pregnant, we found out that I was pregnant. After I had surgery. So it turned out that I had an ectopic pregnancy.
Okay.
I completely passed out. I was in Massachusetts with the ministry that I was leading at the time. I kept blacking out. I kept blacking out. Every time I came back to, I was really weak. I was really clammy, cold. It was a whole ordeal. And it turns out that I had 5 liters of blood swimming around in my abdomen. And if I, it's really by the grace of God that I'm literally even alive. They rushed me to the hospital. The doctors, I ended up leaving the next day. The doctors, and some of them were crying. Like, they were just like, we've never seen this before.
Yeah.
But it was literally, so I lost one of my fallopian tubes. They had to take it out. It was, again, a whole ordeal. Again, it was sad. It was this really mix of like, I lost a child, almost lost my life. Like,
Right.
why is the enemy coming for me? Like, what is, but again, I really do think it's because of the gift of motherhood, and that I think he was trying to rob me of the joy within the gift, honestly. So when that happened, again, it was another blow, but God is so faithful. In 2019, we became pregnant again. Praise the Lord.
Oh
Carried
my
full
gosh.
term, another baby boy, and I'm so grateful that I never lost my zeal for motherhood through it, because I do think that the enemy's goal was for me not to reach this point, for me to have the miscarriage and be like, I'm not doing this again. This pain is too deep. It's fine. And then after the ectopic pregnancy, I think he was literally trying to take me out. Yeah, the Lord said no. The Lord said no.
Clearly.
Yeah, clearly. And that's basically, in a nutshell, my motherhood journey. So it took a while for me to get here. It took trials for me to get here. It took grief. It took near-death experiences. And I think that's one of the reasons why I don't take this role lightly at all, at
Yeah.
all.
I think it's dynamic that you're saying, like that you're speaking to how much you can even feel it when you're like, I love my boys, like outside. And not to say that a woman who has birthed a child who may not have had that experience doesn't carry the same enthusiasm, right? But even for you to say the gift of motherhood is just that constant reminder that for you to have gone through what you went through, that motherhood was literally chasing you down. Like this was something that was written on the scrolls of Celeste's page, you know, the book of life where your name is and where God's like, I've imprinted this story and this plan for you, knowing that it was going to happen. But what I also hear, even in the midst of all of that threads, that is grief that you said, that is just the up and down emotional roller coaster, having to even navigate your relationship and marriage in that time, right? Where you're honoring your husband also is dealing with the loss, is knowing that you guys still held on to hope.
Yeah.
Like still held on to, I love the word zeal. I got excited. I was like, oh, wordsmith, like you held on to that zeal. And that zeal, I would even say, is synonymous to the joy in knowing that there was going to be another conception coming, that there was a plan uniquely written out for you to not only experience motherhood, but in motherhood to be able to be an example for other women who sometimes, regardless of what we go through, and motherhood is tricky sometimes, right? Like some people call it a beautiful, messy. Some people call it a challenge. Some like those of us will call it a gift. And as a believer, to be able to look at motherhood and say it is a gift. It is something that we get to take hold to and grab the reins of, because it is not by happenstance that you are a mom. It is not by happenstance that God has gifted you with an enthusiasm for motherhood, and that there are other women who can glean from that, especially those of us who might have displaced the love of being a mom.
Yeah.
And so just hearing your story is exciting. I don't know how, even between 2013, 2019, with all of the experience that you have as an administrator, and even navigating being a wife, a friend, a daughter, a sister, like how did you, and share with us, like, what is it that you do for a living, and how does using your gifts, you know, work alongside motherhood in a way that allows you to show up in motherhood like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm a business owner, I'm an entrepreneur, and ultimately I am a virtual assistant. So the Lord last year, 2022, he gave me instruction to begin this virtual assistant business. He told me it was going to be an agency. I was a little scared of that, because I'm just like, there's a lot that goes into agency. It's one thing to just be a VA, which means, for those who don't know, a virtual assistant is self-employed and lends administrative assistant to small business or just business owners, period. Mm-hmm. The upside of being a virtual assistant, for the business at least, is that they don't have to worry about like the way it's presented with taxes or benefits and that kind of thing. A virtual assistant is a contractor. So they hire a contractor, and it's basically services that are rendered that way. So that's what I do. Ironically, so I entered into the world of virtual assistants about a year and a half after my son was born. When he was born, I was working 9 to 5. When he was born, I was out for, I think it was 3 months, I had a C-section. So I think it was 3 months that they gave me. And when it was time for me to go back to work, I was just like, oh my God, I can't do this. And my husband was just like, well, then don't. And we completely pivoted, and I became a stay-at-home mom. So I was a stay-at-home mom raising my son. It wasn't easy, because we went from having two incomes to just one. And so we had to downsize, we had to do a lot of things, but I was able to really pour into my son, which are time, like, I don't regret it. Not one bit. I don't regret it one bit. But when it was time for him to go into daycare, I entered into the world of virtual assistant doing admin work for a horse and carriage ride company. So random. I know, it's so random. Horse and carriage ride company in the city. So I basically did all their back end work from home. The owner of the business, he sent me a phone and was just like, calls are going to come into this phone. You can answer this phone. And I did like the online stuff. And that was how I entered into that world. And then fast forward to today, I'm now doing that for other business owners and adding other VAs to my team so that we can service more business owners and do it well. So to go back to your actual question, how do I like balance it and how does it serve in my journey in motherhood, administration is a passion of mine. And I think that it is very important for people to somehow, some way, fuse their passion into their life. For me, I'm so grateful that I'm able to do it in my business. And because I'm acting out this passion, it's automatically me acting out, or the result is a joy. Because even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when I don't know what to do, and it's just like, oh my God, I'm still moving from a place of joy because this is really what I want to do. And that pours into my home life because I'm not miserable at home. I sound like I'm miserable at work where I'm going somewhere where I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I'm so drained. I hate this place. I hate my boss. I hate the people I'm working with. I hate it's, you know, because that kind of thing, it trickles over into your life. You get home. It's just like, I don't want to be bothered.
Like, you're sitting outside for an extra few minutes. Like, let me just mentally prepare myself. I'm like, that's not my life. It's not going to
be. Exactly. Exactly. And it's crazy because I think you'd be able to relate. It's one thing, because it's not to say that entrepreneurship or what I do, period, doesn't come with its challenges, but because I'm in my lane, because I'm in my purpose, because I'm doing what God has called me to do in this season, there's hope that what I'm doing is going to yield really good fruit. And honestly, it's not even always hope. I see the fruit. You know, I see the fruit. It's just like, this is bringing me that joy, seeing these business owners, like meeting their goals, me personally meeting my goals. It makes me, I'm able to now turn around. And although I'm not going home because I'm working from home, I'll go in the kitchen and I can make a meal and just be like, yes, you know, I'm so happy. Yeah. It all works together. And I think ultimately, regardless of what you do, business owner or not, you know, 9 to 5 or entrepreneur, making sure that you are in alignment with wherever God needs you to be at the time that you're in. So making sure that you're in alignment will produce joy. And the joy is, again, it's not to say that it doesn't have challenges, but there's a deep rooted when you know I'm in purpose. I'm where I'm supposed to be. It's hard right now, but I'm where I'm supposed to be. And because of that, I can be joyful.
I'm sitting here like, you know, when your stomach does a little, when your first crush and your stomach is like twitching and it's all tingly and excited. It's the butterflies, right? Yeah. Like it reminds you that something good is happening. And that's why you're the perfect person to have this conversation with, because you live out this idea that like, if I'm and what I'm doing and who I am is not in alignment with what the Father has for me, what he said, hey, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to do it. It would be easy for joy to be displaced because so many of us, especially moms, when you're just trying to prioritize that your child is taken care of, especially unsupervised moms, right? Where I know many unsupervised moms who are like, I just want to make sure that my home is okay, that my kids are dressed, that we have food in the refrigerator. And sometimes we will say yes to things intentionally because it's like, I just want to make sure that I can check the box off, right? But it's also knowing how to approach our livelihood and sustain as a woman, as a mom, and still be like, but God, ask that brave question, right? Like, God, what is it that you have uniquely carved out for me to do and how to approach it? Because I want to love what it is when I wake up every morning. I want to know that if I'm meeting with a client or a writer, in my case, if I am having to go, you know, shop for someone else, or if it's that I'm preparing a plan for whomever, or exercising some type of administrative task, I want to know that I'm doing it. And as long as I'm doing it well, that God is pleased, then joy comes with that. And so I do believe that you exude that. I do believe that you're giving us keys for how to sustain. It's like, if your livelihood does not match up with the purpose that God has designed, then rightfully so, that's a great place to start, is to say, God, help me to walk in my purpose. Because if it's a part of who I am and a part of what I'm supposed to do, that is something to be very much joyful about.
Yes.
And I can resonate with that, right? I can resonate with being an education administrator for several years. I can resonate with teaching for 10 plus years. And at some point loving it and knowing when it was time to hang up the coat.
Yeah.
When the Lord's like, hey, this is the season where I need you to leave. And I'm like, you sure? Because the focus was on the salary. You know, you take a big hit when you become an entrepreneur. And that doesn't mean that you aren't prepared. Like maybe you did store it for 6 months,
Yeah.
eight, nine, 12, but then that reality of stepping into a different manner of faith where God's like, this is what I have for you. It's like, wow, you really want me to do this?
My
And that
Lord.
is that process. It is uncovering purpose and finding joy in the midst of it, because the Bible says in Psalm 16:11, it says, you make known to me the path of life.
Yeah.
In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so if I am allowing and availing myself to whatever God's path of life for me is, there is the promise that God's presence is with it.
Yes.
And in that promise, there is the fullness of joy. And so I think that's just powerful, the way that you're framing it. Just like, it's really important for us as moms to step forward in like whatever that purpose is, because that is where joy can in fact be sustained.
Yep. That's true.
So you share that you're a mom of multiples. You have two amazing boys. You're a professional, and I'm calling you an expert administrator because you clearly have authoritative knowledge in that industry and in that area that God has said, here, this is where I need you to be. But I also deem you to be a strategist, right? Like if you're training others professionally and raising them up to be better than where they are, then it also means that you have been gifted with strategy. So what has been your process for ensuring that joy in all of these great things is prioritized and preserved?
It's a great question. I would say gratefulness. I think gratefulness and joy, there is a direct link there. I'm the type of person, it's always been easier for me to see the glass as half full, always. I will say that there have been seasons where anxiety and worry would overtake me. And I'm so grateful, actually, I didn't even think about this until now, but I'm grateful for a community of believers, a community of friends, family, my husband, who is able to redirect me when it's just like, I'm going down a spiral where I'm worrying about this. I'm anxious about this. What's going to happen here? Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. That's not you. That's not you, you know, and really pull up my socks. So I would actually first say, the right community. And that can look like so many things. That can look like, you know, friends. It can look like family. It can look like your spouse. It can look like your pastor. It can look like your leaders, whatever it may look like for, you know, the listener or you, whatever. Surround yourself with the right community who is able to hold you accountable to the joy that you know belongs to you. So that's the first thing. Secondly, choosing gratefulness. So choosing to, even though, and I want to be clear, choosing to be grateful doesn't mean that you are not looking at the whole picture. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, well, I'm just going to turn my back toward the bad things that are happening. I'm a very big believer in looking at the whole picture. And that's one of the ways that I pull myself out of worry and anxiety now. It's okay. This might be true. And this might be true. And this might be true. And this is true.
Right.
So it's like it prevents you from going down the negative spiral, because it's just like, if this is what I claim to be true, then I have to be honest all around and say this is true also. So I may not have as much money as I want in my bank account, but what's also true is that I can right now go into my cupboards and my fridge and whip up about four different type of meals. Okay.
That's right.
That is something to be grateful about. So looking at the whole picture, and I promise you that can be applied to any situation, to any hardship. There are always two sides. So not even just choosing to look at one, but looking at both, and then making the choice to speak gratitude over the things that you actually are grateful for. So using that same analogy, I don't have as much money as I would like in my bank account, but God, I'm so grateful that that I have the food to feed me and my family. God, I'm grateful that I'm able to look and see the meals, because sometimes people look in the cupboard and it's just like, oh my God, I only have dried beans. Right. What am I gonna do? I'm gonna boil those. I'm gonna add some seasoning. We're gonna have a whole feast with these beans, you know? So just really choosing to look at both sides, but expressing gratitude for the things that are going well, because believe it or not, I think every person can name at least five things. And I know that sounds like a lot, but at least five things that we can be grateful for. So choosing to look at gratitude always, always ignites and kind of fans the flame for joy.
Yeah, I think that's important too, because oftentimes it's easy to get sidetracked by all of the things that have yet happened, the things that have yet been availed or evidenced in the earth. One of my favorite scriptures talks about just how the Lord literally owns everything. There is nothing that we can place our eyes on, our hands to, that God does not already own. Yeah. And it's that reminder that even if I may not have a tangible experience of those things, I serve a Father who can give me access to them. And so I too have been one of those, like, the glass is half full. And there were times where I struggled with anxiety myself for years, and there are still hills, you know, that I'm coming over. But that is the process by which healing happens, is that ownership of joy, is that owning gratitude, is that looking at the big picture, like you said, because sometimes those who look at the glass half empty will make it seem as if we're almost like overly optimistic, or not looking at the reality of a thing. And it's not so much that we're not, but it is that we look at the reality and then we live in the end. Say that, like, there's a lot of us, and that's an encouragement to mamas as well. Like, it is okay for you to live in the and not in the or. Like, because I don't have enough money, that somehow displaces that you can't make do with what's in front of you. Right. Or somehow that, like you said, the fully stocked pantry is insignificant now. And I think as believers, we have to be careful to exercise this, like, but it's not enough, because there is that constant lack of contentment that fuels us and drives us. And oftentimes causes us to speak out of a hurt place. And that in and of itself removes joy and removes the multiplicity of joy from our lives. And so I love that you're naming how important it is to ensure that we're surrounded by people who are going to hold us accountable. Like, no, watch your mouth. I love that my sister friends will tell me, no, I'm not going to allow you to say that. Or no, don't say that. Or no, this is what the word says. Because even in the midst of very hard and pressing moments, when we are reminded, and I know some have said, well, sometimes I can read and I pray and it doesn't seem like it affects us. But that's why you got to be persistent with that thing. Yeah. You got to say, okay, I may not see it right now, but I got to own, because this is what God has given me. And it comes with my inheritance to make sure that I live this out. So I love that. I love that having community, owning gratitude, and just being mindful to speak gratitude. We often will express gratitude, but to then speak it over the things is a totally different level of owning joy, right? What is your personal, we never even threw it out there. What is your personal definition of joy? And how have you arrived at the practice of, I'm going to own joy no matter how unpredictable life is?
That's good. Okay. My definition of joy. So I think I touched on it before, but joy is definitely rooted in being in alignment with God's plan and his word. I do think that sometimes joy doesn't feel like happiness.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I'm joyful, I'm in his will, it doesn't feel good, so I'm not walking around cheesing and, you know, but I'm joyful. My heart is full of joy because I know where I am supposed to be. I know I am where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. So I think joy is really being in alignment with the Holy Spirit. At least it produces the joy. And I think joy is also linked to the hope, because so just like in my my journey to motherhood story, I was literally grieving a loss, but was still able to hold on to hope of what's to come, which produced a little speckle of joy that gave me enough to keep going until that promise was fulfilled with my first child, you know? Yeah. So it's like, really that joy and hope, they link together, and it all just kind of, it's like a triangle, I guess. I mean, they can't see me, but you see me. It's a triangle that leads to the Father. And so it's this beautiful alignment of hope and alignment and producing joy being in His will. And that alone, honestly, like it's so easy to go off track. It's so easy to chase things that may not be ours or may not be ours right now. And it produces like a false sense of joy, because when things really, when you get to the root of it, that's when you realize, this wasn't for me, or it wasn't for me right now. And that causes so much more detriment. So I'm okay with, even the idea of, what is it? Long-term gratification or short, I forget the actual phrase, but it's like being in a season where I may not feel, oh my God, things are perfect.
Right.
Knowing that I'm in alignment, it's like, it's going to get real good. And in the meantime, I'm going to be grateful for what is good, you know? So I guess it's not really a comprehensive definition, but that is my definition of joy. And to the second portion, how do I make sure that I'm living that out day to day? I would say one huge one is making sure that my time with Jesus is being had.
Okay. Because I would have lost these marbles a long time.
Girl, gone. They would have been gone. No marbles, like gone. that time, and as moms, I think we know that that time looks different depending on the season that we're in. So I'm not even saying like, you got to wake up at the crack of dawn and be praying for like 2 hours. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying carving time for the time, making the time for you and Jesus, whether it be in the car, like making a decision to pray, or in the shower, or maybe it is first thing in the morning, whatever, on a walk, whatever. For me, I have to making time for my time with the Lord. So again, it can look different. It doesn't have to be the crack of dawn praying for a million hours. It can very well look like praying while in the shower, or maybe 10 to 15 minutes in the day, or 10 to 15 minutes at night. Whatever it is, I've found that these moments carved out for the Lord help to keep me at a certain mind space, help to keep me at a certain heart space, helps to keep my perspective clear and not cloudy. So yeah, that's a huge, huge one. Just making sure that my time with the Lord is priority. And secondly, I would say making sure to add things that I like, just practically speaking. So yeah, for me, I try to get two social hangouts on my calendar a month. Okay. It doesn't always happen, but I try for it, even if it's with my sisters, you know, or with a friend or a family member. I try to get hangouts on the calendar. I try to use, and this is really practical speaking, really nice, like lotions or body butters, smell goods, hello, shower bombs, like give me the hello luxury on, you know, luxury, a scaled luxury. You know, whether it be my nighttime routine, even something I've recently taken on a love for coloring. I got an adult coloring book, and it's amazing. Yeah. Next to my, on my side of the bed, my nightstand, I have my crayons, my coloring book, my markers, alongside my Bible, my journal. So it's like, we got choices. Okay. So identify the things that truly bring you joy, no matter what it is. If it's a walk in the park, if it's a wild ride adventure, plan it, you know, like, include the things that practically bring you joy into your life, and make it happen. We can make a lot of things happen. Make the joy-filled things happen.
Yeah, I think we overemphasize some otherworldly secular version of luxury. Funny that you mentioned that, because when you were speaking, I was reminded of the scripture in John 16, 24, where he says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full.
Come on.
I'm reminded in that there's a luxury in asking God. Like, God is probably God is the most luxurious, right? Father. And so to think that we as daughters of Christ who are raising his children to have access to asking him, his ear is inclined to us, and our joy would be made full just in asking in his name. Like, that for me says luxury is all over that. And so we do get to be more intentional about owning luxury, because that induces joy. I know for me, a good massage when I can, and while that requires budgeting, of course, and being wise about when that plan happens, there is also that really good meal. There is also that full-on shower with my eucalyptus oil diffusing. And
talk to me, girl.
Or my eucalyptus is hanging. I love fresh eucalyptus hanging off of the shower head. And it might simply mean, like, just like you said, I love a good shea butter, a raw organic something that makes me feel alive. Yeah. And I think moms have to remember the beauty in being alive is obviously not just for motherhood, but it is to know that there is a father who has his eye on us, a father who loves us that deeply, a father who's like, just ask me and I'm going to give it to you, right? According to my will. And in that, you're going to find joy. And so we almost have to own more of what God says, like what he's speaking is true. Yes. And I think sometimes we forget, like, God is actually not a liar. You know, he tells the truth all the time.
He means it.
And so there's a lot of things that we displace or allow to consume and choke out our joy, that if we do a lot of the incremental things that you're mentioning, we could possibly be owning more joy than what we care to admit. It is possible. There's literally almost no reason why today there isn't 10 or 15 minutes that have not been carved out for the Father. It's not there. There can't be a possible reason why there isn't one thing that may not cost anything. Like you said, a walk outside, or just to be able to have a really dope conversation similar to the one we're having now, right? That costs nothing, maybe, but time that can fill us up with the luxury that God has given us access to. So I love that. But I can't ignore that. Like we shared earlier, that seasonal depression is a thing. Mm-hmm. And lacking joy is also a very real thing. And it's easy to displace joy when there isn't something in place to protect it. And so if you're not spending that time with the Father, if you're not finding, like, what are the things that make me feel deep passion, that do allow me that moment of blessed happiness? So what are some reasons why protecting or unearthing joy is essential to being a healthy mom?
That answer is actually really simple for me. Mm. I will not be the best version of myself for my kids if I'm living a life of suffering, basically. If I'm not doing what I have to do to be joyful, to really be peaceful, to be loving, like to feel loved. If I'm not checking off these boxes for myself and making it a priority, then there's no way, not only can I not be that for my kids, but I can't teach them that. Because this life, we know there's an expiration date, you know, like it or not, there's an expiration date. But there are things that we want to be able to teach our kids. As a mom, and I'm sure so many of us can relate, there are things that I see my son do or react to things, and I'm like, oh no, that's that anxiety. And I know it because I experience it.
Yeah, you can call it out.
Thankfully, it hurts me when I'm like, not my 7-year-old, me seeing him get antsy, and I'm at the same time, I'm like, God, I thank you for equipping me with the tools, giving me the push that I needed to make the steps toward actual joy. One of those tools for me has been therapy, you know, going to therapy, talking things through, because now I can take that and sit down with my son at 7 and teach him the same things that I'm learning at 30 something. So now when he gets to this age, he would have had all this time to practice what I'm now starting to practice. So again, making sure that I'm in the right place, that I'm in a place where joy is literally my right hand. Like we're walking hand in hand. Sometimes it may not, you know, it may not be this overwhelming, but I know it's close. I know it's here. And I know that I'm working toward making sure that that is literally Celeste. My life is synonymous with joy because I'm a daughter of a king. And now I can take all of that and pour it. Oh, when I think about it in my whole heart, pour that into my kids so that they're now able to live joy-filled lives, so that they're really able to be the light that we're all called to be, because they can be the light at 7 and 4 and really not only be the light, but experience that and then go into the world and really be change agents in their own little sphere of, I wouldn't even say little, in their own sphere of influence, you know? So to wrap that up, it's important for me to be in that right place when it comes to experiencing and unlocking and unearthing joy so that I can put my kids in the position to experience the same thing from a way younger age.
Yeah, that's good, because I've heard the phrasing of like unhealed children become unhealed adults, or that if the individuals aren't in place, right? If we look at genealogy, we look at like, well, who raised you? Who raised them? And who raised those who raised them?
Right.
And you look at just the ongoing history of those who may not have owned joy, or were not taught how to own joy, or quite frankly, at the most basic manner, maybe didn't know what it was like to have a relationship with God. Yeah. And so having access to all the things that come with being a child of God, right? Peace and love and kindness and all of the other things that oftentimes our experiences of the world, we project very easily on to those who we are given the gift to raise. And as unsupervised moms, sometimes that pressure is raised or heightened because you are living in the constant reality of juggling everything that it takes to raise this human on your own. And it doesn't mean unsupervised in the sense that like there's absolutely no help. There is definitely a huge measure of help in the father, but then there are also those very real moments where you don't get to sleep the extra 5 minutes, right? Because there isn't no one to turn to and say, hey, can you get the baby instead? Yeah. But there is that, like, I got to get to work and I have to make sure that I get to the school by this time too. There's that constant being in two places at one time feeling that very easily displaces this ownership of joy that we have access to. And so what you're saying is so important, because that reminder of if you're not taking full responsibility for preserving and protecting your joy, it is doing a disservice to how you're raising your children, how you're pouring into them or not pouring into them, because not pouring into yourself or allowing yourself to be poured into, especially during seasons where it's easy to kind of sit joy in the corner. It's easy to compare and say, I may not have that family, or it's easy to compare and say, I may not be married yet, right? Like, but just looking at all of the things that come with carrying and with being a mom, it's easy to say, well, you know, where do I fit? But if you're more intentional about protecting your joy and preserving it and coming to the reality that, like, if I take full responsibility for the measure of joy that floods my life, then I'm also taking responsibility for the measure of joy that my children get to experience.
Yep.
And then now you're replicating and you're multiplying God in that way in your kids. And now you're raising up these kingdom kids who are influencing their spheres. Yeah. Uh-huh. As you put it. And so that is a huge undertaking. And that is a very important responsibility to own. It's like, listen, if joy is not happening, then you got to sit back and say, okay, where do I need some support? Where do I need, where do I need to have a conversation, right? Like, what do I need to be honest with myself about? And sometimes we don't do that enough to then go back and say, I'm sorry, joy.
Yeah.
I sat you here for too long. Now I'm ready for us to be friends again.
Yeah.
Just the visual pouring into our children just gets at me, because when we look at who our children are becoming, the world that is shaping them, the schools that are teaching them outside of our care, of course, the other community members that become a part of their lives, those who, we're trying to get them to understand, this is how you apply the word of God to your life. This is how you pray. This is how you communicate with people. This is how you shouldn't communicate with people. Taking on the full responsibility of motherhood is a giant, but it is one that with joy can be extremely fulfilling. So thank you for naming that. I know that you've shared so much about what it should look like and what it could look like on a day-to-day for moms, no matter what they're juggling, to own joy. But would you say that there is a formula for unearthing it, or what would be like that one first thing that moms should do to kind of like dig deep and pull up the joy that God has given us?
I think, and this came to me when you were speaking. So I definitely think that it's a perspective and mindset situation. Just understanding that you are always pouring. You're always pouring. And now I want to say excuse me, I want to say the motivation for joy should be, what am I pouring? And now if I want it to be joy, then now my motivation is to dig in and reach for it and find the ways. So again, I think the formula is more of a mindset. What did I pour into my kids today? Okay, I didn't love this. I did like this. I like that also. Okay, now
That's
let
good.
me do whatever I need to do so that tomorrow we're pouring more of this and less of that, because the pour is consistent. The pour is consistent. Every time we're around our kids, it's not when you put on a face, or it's every time, everything. I was talking with a friend of mine about, he was just saying how his daughter said something, and he was just like, where did she even get that from? It's the constant pour, especially when they're younger. Constant pour. So as a mom, you can only do what you can do, but now really evaluate, what am I doing? What am I doing well? What am I not doing well? And now let's focus in, just focus in on what I'm doing well. And then even what I'm not doing, how can I change that? So that motivation becomes, because I know now, my mindset is shifted to know I'm always pouring. So even when I don't want to be pouring, I'm mad. So I don't want you to receive any of this while I'm mad, they're receiving it. So you're gonna have to figure out how to be mad. What's the right way to be mad? Not to be mad, but what's the correct way
Oh, good.
to be mad? And then we go, in that direction. So again, knowing that we're always pouring and using that as the motivation to make sure, to ensure that joy is at your right-hand side. So even when you're mad or when you're sad, like even me, I lost both of my parents within a 6-month time span. And I grieved, and I made sure that my kids saw me grieving because they were
Absolutely.
grieving too. So what is healthy grieving? Well, let's do it together. But I was mindful, one, not to hide it from them, because that's the false joy. Oh, everything's okay.
Absolutely.
Everything's not okay. Mommy is sad, and I know that you're sad too. Let's talk about it. Like, how are we feeling? So again, I say that to say, shift the mindset to the understanding that we are always pouring, and then be intentional about what the pour is daily.
That is so powerful, because it makes me think about a conversation. I remember my daughter was just about to turn 2. My mom had passed the week before she turned 2. And some months ago, she looked at me one day and she randomly asked, because that is the mind of a child sometimes, right? It's so big, it's so imaginative, but it's also soaking up everything happening that they don't always compartmentalize. Well, when's the best time to ask this question? And she asked me, "Mommy, do you ever miss your mother?" And I said, "I absolutely miss her every day." And she said explicitly, "I never see you cry about it after." And it isn't because I'm hiding it. We're in worship all the time. She sees me worship in the kitchen. She sees me worship at church. She sees me crying. She knows when I'm going off to pray. So I don't hide my emotions, my experience of the Father, anything that I'm navigating from her. But to hear her say that, I had to have an open conversation with her. And I said, "That is a great observation to make." I said, "There are probably many times where I have, and you probably just weren't around. And it
Yeah.
isn't because I don't want you to see it, but it's just, that's just what's happened with time. Maybe you were sleeping and I was up late, or maybe you were at school and I had a moment. And she's like, oh, okay. So you do. I said, I do. I said, absolutely. And having that, like you said, pouring and helping them to understand who you are, I think is also giving our children glimpses of our humanness, right? Not making an excuse for the
Yeah.
moments where we are human, but to say, like, mommy is human.
Yeah.
Mommy does want to own the things that God says I have access to, but there are moments where I need a little help in doing that. And so being aware of how we are pouring, when we are pouring, and what we are pouring, is a great place to start in the sense of thinking formula,
Yeah.
because without that, then we're also not being strategic.
Yeah.
How we approach joy, how we own joy, how we say, hey, God, you know, I want one of the gifts that you said is a part of my inheritance, but God's like, but how are you stewarding it? Right? Like, if we're asking for a thing, we know we have it. Then it's like, how are we stewarding joy? And that's what it makes me think of when you say being mindful of the poor, because you're pouring all the time, even when you don't, even in your silence,
Yeah.
pouring. When we're in the car ride home and we're silent, and she says, mommy, how was your day? My day was okay. You seem quiet. Yeah, I just have a lot on my mind. What's on your mind? Right? It's that,
We know how it goes.
right?
Yeah.
It's that constant pouring, but to begin with, engaging that question of like, how are you pouring? It's also asking that, like, how are you stewarding this?
Yeah.
Or I think that is just so powerful. And so I feel like that almost answers my next question for you, was like, what healthy practices would you recommend to unsupervised moms who are seeking to own joy and live a life that reflects joy? So that there is that formula, but is there anything else you want to drop on us? Any other jewels of wisdom?
Girl, I think I'm poured out, Lord. I mean, honestly, just, and this is just a general reminder, like it may seem hard because it's like, oh my God, like how am I supposed to manage that? Like, okay, fine, I'm pouring all the time, but how in the world do I manage not, you know, it's just the gem is that Holy Spirit is there all the time. All the time, all the time. I was literally talking to my son about that. We were reading scripture together, which was so beautiful. But anyway, we were reading scripture together and we were talking about Holy Spirit. And I was just trying to break it down for him. Like, you know, so you can ask Holy Spirit, like, you know, if you're feeling, you know, scared in a moment, or if you're feeling worried, or you're not sure how to answer a question at school or whatever. I was just really breaking it down. And as I was breaking it down, and motherhood does this so much, the Lord was just kind of like, I'm with you in the same way. All the simple things, the little things. So while motherhood is by no means little, it's filled with lots of little and big pieces. So if you find yourself in an area where it's like maybe you're not pouring, you know that you're not pouring in a way that you want to, and you just can't figure out what the right way to pour is, Holy Spirit, what up? Now that now gives you exactly what your Jesus time should look like. You know, God, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do here? Like I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I really want to make sure that I'm not pouring the wrong things. I wanna train my child up, my children up right. What do I do? Give me the words. Give me the inspiration, whatever it might be. So just remembering that you're not doing it alone. You're not doing it alone at all. Holy Spirit is here. And I think you mentioned it earlier, or at least alluded to it, or it made me think of it. These are his kids. As much as we love them, as much as we would do anything for them, these are his kids.
Absolutely.
So whatever we want to pour, the good stuff, he wants to pour even more. Partner with Holy Spirit in parenting, because that's where we're going to get all the answers, honestly.
You are just so spot on, because my final encouragement to moms, just after just saying thank you for who you are and what you've offered in this space, is really for moms to understand the partnership of God with them in their accessing joy, in their
Yeah.
ownership of joy. And you just said it. You said just partnering with the Holy Spirit. So I couldn't have said it better. But how can we get in contact with you? Like, how can those who might say, "Hey, she sounds like a really dope person," because she is, of course. How can our audience follow you, or just kind of they're like, "Hey, I know someone who needs your expert services." How can they reach you?
Yeah, I'm primarily on Instagram. My personal handle is at It's Celeste Charles, so ITS Celeste Charles. And then my business handle is at Decent Order VA. So for virtual assistant things, you can reach me there. For personal things, you can honestly reach me either place. I check the DMs, it's me. So you can feel free to reach me that way.
I love that. Well, mamas, you heard it first here. This is Celeste. A huge thank you for not only what you've offered, but just to know that you are a human on this earth that is living this out and that you are influencing people, whether you meet them in this lifetime or in the next. But just to know that you are someone who identifies with the joy of God and you make it your daily practice and habit to live it out. And it is not something that you are easy to displace, but it is something that you are stewarding with intentionality. And I believe that that is a gift. And that you are therefore a gift in spaces where people have to be reminded that life does life. Life is not always fair. Life is not always just. Sometimes it feels like God is super quiet, but the loudness of God's joy that is just pouring from your life is something that always encourages me. And so thank you for sharing this space with me to pour this wisdom into moms. And mamas, I leave you with this scripture, this caveat. It is in Zephaniah 3 and 17. And it says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness." That is joy. He will quiet you by his love, and he will exalt over you with loud singing. Mama's God is invested in you owning joy. He is interested in eternal partnership with you. And because he is intentional about saving, he is also just as intentional in making sure that joy follows you for the rest of your life.